Okay, so on your test, Amud Aleph, for two lines from the top, this Amud is really fun. There's a lot of very nice halacha l'maisa stuff, so let's get started. Tezeg Mar, Tanur Rabbanan. Nosnin mezonos nipne hakelas b'chatzer. You could place food before a dog in your courtyard. So that's Rosh Hashanah Yachid. And you don't have to be afraid of Nat Leviatza if he takes it out and takes it out of the yard. Ain is kaking low. You don't have to be afraid that he's going to take it out and do a malacha. So now, first of all, whose dog are we talking about? And we're talking about not your own animal, because your animal, you have a chiv to feed your own animals. We're talking about a regular stam dog that you find that comes into your yard from the streets. So the question is, why are you allowed to feed it? Generally, we have a prohibition against feeding an animal that's not yours, because that's a necessary chore. It's not necessarily malacha, but it's something that the Rabbanan say that you shouldn't be doing. So why is this mutter? So there's the Achronim give saw two answers. One, from the standard approach, seems to be that dogs, generally in the times of the Gemara, were considered malnourished, and we have a concept of to go in the ways of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Mahu Racham, Afachan, Afatarachim, that we are always very merciful for everything, every being, every creature. So we have Rachmanis on the dog, even so that would apply to all malnourished, if that's the case, that would apply to all malnourished animals. However, the second, that would be a heter to give food to it. The second approach is an interesting pshat from the Meiri says, no, this dafka, the Rabbanan, weren't goes around a dog because of the famous, the pasuk says, lo yichrach kerev l'shona, in the yana deyom of Yitzias Yisrael, the dogs aren't going to bark. And as a chus for that, and as a reward for that, we kind of give them, even if it's not your dog, we allow you to feed it. According to that pshat, that then it would be only, it would be only a dog. I don't think the Meiri is necessarily accepted halacha, but just still a very interesting pshat in the Gemara. So now, either way, the Gemara now says, so too, a similar thing, if a goy comes to your property, you can give him food, and not leviyot, however, if he took the food out, and he goes, and Rosh Hashanah Rabim, so he carries it out of there without an eruv, you still don't have to be afraid, and it's not your problem. So the Gemara now asks, why do I have to teach you the additional case of a goy? It's a hainohach, it's the same thing as the animal. If the guy's doing it for himself, it's not my responsibility. So the Gemara says, no, ma'od esim, I would have thought the following. So the obligation of feeding the dog, you have to do, like we explained, one of the two pshatim. However, the feeding of the goy is not incumbent upon you. You don't have a chiv to do it. No, the Bryce is teaching you that really is a chiv somewhat to feed a goy. So what chiv is there? So Tosos in Dibur Maslo Nosum Mezonos the goy seems to assume that it's because of the Gemara of it's an ani, it's a non-Jew who is poor, and we know that the Gemara in Gittin tells us that because of Darki Shalom, we give tzedakah to poor aniyim who are goyim as well. So according to that would be this chiv over here. You have a chiv to give me Darki Shalom, to give food to a non-Jewish goy. Okay, continues Gemara now in a Braisa. The rabbis taught a Braisa, lo yaskir adam kelev l'nachi b'erev Shabbos. A person is not allowed to rent his items, his utensils, to a goy on Friday. B'reviv v'chamishi mutter. However, on Wednesday and Thursday, it is permitted. So now, why is that the case over here? That is a very big question in the Rishonim. This is a very big halacha l'maisa topic. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Rambam and the Rif that say that this whole brisa was aliba debase shamai, and since it's aliba debase shamai, it's not applicable. This halacha wouldn't be necessarily applicable to us. So that would be very interesting. That would be a very big kula, that you wouldn't necessarily have this, it wouldn't be a problem to lend it, according to them, then it wouldn't be necessarily a problem to lend it out on Erev Shabbos, according to them, because we would follow Beis Hillel. However, Tosfos hold that this is the Shita of Beis Hillel. Tosfos on Ardaf over here. Tosfos over here says that it is our Beis Hillel. And why is this over here a problem, even according to Beis Hillel? Because it looks like you're taking money for things that are provided for you on Shabbos, which would then be a problem. That would be like Schar Shabbos. Schar Shabbos is a problem that looks like you're doing business on Shabbos. So ordinarily, this would only be a problem if you do it for the Schar Shabbos itself. However, there's a concept called Havla. Havla is where it's swallowed up, meaning that you allow him to do a larger rental period and extend it. This is a big kula for hiring people to do things for you on Shabbos, whether it's Jews or non-Jews. Havla would be mutter. So this why over here don't we say the same thing? Because apparently, if you do it on Friday, it still looks bad. However, Wednesday or Thursday, then you're allowed to be doing it behavla. That's what Tosfos hold. Rabbeinu Yonah has a third sheet. Rabbeinu Yonah holds also that this is due because of the Shabbos rental, but he explains that this is only in regards to kelim, which the goy will do malacha for on Shabbos. So if it's not malacha, if it's kelim that don't necessarily do malacha for you on Shabbos, then it would not necessarily be as much of an issue. And All these shitas are quoted in Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah seems, meaning the first shita is the most meikel. That seems to be how the Shulchan Aruch goes. But the Ramah does quote that we seem to follow the more machmir shita. How far we've been yon or not? Okay, ayin in Simon Reish Mambav. So if Aleph over there. Okay, either way. So this is, but that's very nogea. So then again, this is mutter on Wednesday or Thursday mutter. Kiyotzebo. Similarly, the Gemara says now in Mishalchin Igros Pianachim Erev Shabbos. You can't send a letter with the goy on Erev Shabbos. Perviru Chomishim Mutter. However, on Wednesday or Thursday, it is going to be permitted. So the Gemara now says, "Amro lava Rabbi Yosi HaKohen, Rabbi lava Rabbi Yosi HaChassid." Some say it was Rabbi Yosi HaKohen, some say it was Rabbi Yosi HaChassid. Shadrim tzaksav liyad b'yanach me'olam. He never found him in possession of a goy. So why is sending a letter? What is the issue with this? Because this also is a case that a goy is going to be doing. This in this case, it seems to be that you're going to be doing a malacha ayde the goy. He's going to be doing it for you on Shabbos. So that's the seemingly problem over here. And Rabbi Yosi Yochasid was so machmir about this that he didn't want a goy to ever do malacha for him on Shabbos, even if he did send it on Sunday. He was always careful not to send it with the goy because maybe he'll do it for him on Shabbos. Okay, the Gemara now continues. Tanur Rabbanan. We say in the Braisa, Ein Meshalcha Nigaris Biad Nachri Erev Shabbos. We can't send a letter with a goy on Friday. Elam ken kotzel zdama. So this is a big heter. So if you pay him a certain fee and you say whenever you get to it, you'll get to it. So even though you know that he might want to do it on Shabbos, that's not necessarily a problem. As long as you pay him a set fee, so no matter what, he's going to get the same pay. So then you're not necessarily doing it for him. That's something that's going to be done for you on Shabbos. And therefore, then it would be nothing wrong if he decided to himself to do it on Shabbos. Again, this is an oversimplification. There's many halachas applied, but this is generally a big kula, which would allow you to have enough or do something for you. This idea that if you just pay him the same amount, and it doesn't necessarily matter when it's going to come. However, the Gemara now says, Beit Shammai, Omer, Beit Shammai says, Kedei Shek Lebesa. No, there has to be sufficient time for the Gnachri to reach the house before Shabbos, because they hold that, meaning the house of the person that you need to send a letter to, because they hold again that this is a problem of Maris Hayin. Otherwise, even if the Goy is going to be doing it for you on his own, it's still going to be a problem of Maris Hayin. So, however, Beis Hillel is going to say, Kedei Shek Lebesa, Zamul Chachoma. Beis Hillel hold that you only have to have enough time for the Goy to reach the house nearest to the wall. So what is that house nearest to the wall? So we'll actually see that in a moment. And the Gemara then says, that's where you have to get to. So no matter where you say it in a second. We just said before that we said, if you have katzos l'damim, that'd be okay. But lo katzos, at the end of the day, if the person made a set fee beforehand to pay him the same amount, Beis Hillel l'chora would agree that it should be totally fine. Why is Beis Hillel agreeing that you have to be able to get to the house, to reach the house nearest to the city? I mean, you have to get to where the city is. L'chora, it doesn't matter where the guy gets to. As long as you pay them beforehand, it should be okay. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Sheshes, Hachi Kamar. So says Rav Sheshes, no, this is what the Braisa was saying. Im lo katas, if he didn't make a set fee for him, Beit Shammai Omrim, Achik Lebeso. Then Beit Shammai would say you have to reach the house of the person who the mail is supposed to be addressed to. However, Beis Hillel would say that what? Achik Lebeso, Samuch Lachoma, you are, it is permitted unless he can reach the house nearest of the wall to the city before Shabbos. So the Gemara, though, the Gemara is still not happy with this answer. The Gemara says, so again, so we're assuming you didn't make a set fee, but you still need to get to the closest house. The Gemara now says, though, Amar Reisha Imashachim, in the beginning of the Braisa, we said the Lashon, that you can't, that you're not allowed to send it unless you set a set fee. That implies that without this stipulation of the fee, you're not allowed to send a letter with a goy at all. So then how could it be that, again, here Beis Hillel is allowing you to send it where there's no fee? How it seems to be implied that you're allowed to even when there was nothing set. So the Gemara now says, no, lo kasha, ha tekavi beidor b'masa, So it depends. So if there is a Beidar, what is a Beidar? So according to Rashi, it's the person whose house was in charge of the city, some sort of some guy with authority over the city, whose people used to send the letters over there. However, the Rif, the Rambam, and other Rishonim seem to imply what it would be a case of what we would call like a post office where there is a post office in the city, and if there's a post office in the city, then it would be okay as long, because you know that the letter could eventually get there. So what does it help that you put it in the guy who's closest you have to should be able to get to the post office? Why are you getting to the person who's furthest in that city? So the Bach explains, no, it's very much similar to what the mail system we have nowadays. They used to have to come to the post office, and they used to come pick it up from people's mailboxes, something like that. So as long as you can put it in the first if you get to the closest port in the city, which the guy has a mailbox over there, so then eventually they're going to come and bring it to the main and deliver it to where it needs to be getting to. That is what the concept is. And Beit Dor Agav, I mentioned in the modern Hebrew, seem to have paskin like this latter shita, because in modern Hebrew, a doar is usually assumed to be a post office. Okay? So that's what it says in modern Hebrew. Okay, either way, so then if there is no post office, then again, it would be machmer, even according to Beis Hillel, then you would have to be machmir in that situation, that you would not be allowed to send it at all. That's what would base Hillel would hold. Now, okay, so another halacha. Tana Rabbanan, im afligim esfinim pachas v'shol she'yomim kodim ha-shabbos. You're not allowed, and Agav, by the way, just to end off with this, is that these have big nafkaminas for sending Amazon packages nowadays, because if you order it on Friday, and you know there's a one-day shipping, so then b'meila, that it's almost guaranteed that the goy is doing it for you on Shabbos, that might be problematic. However, if you order it, let's say, Thursday with 2 day shipping, so theoretically it could very well come. Not paskening right now, but just theoretically it could come on Friday. So therefore, it might not necessarily be an issue. This is a much bigger sugya than we're just mentioning, but this is just something to note, that this is comes out of our sugya. The very big halacha l'maaseh shayla that people have all the time is the Amazon packages. So continues the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. It's taught in the Braisa. In mafligin b'sfina pachos m'shulchan m'kodim l'shabbos. Someone is not allowed to go on a ship less than 3 days before Shabbos. Why is that? Rashi is very interesting. Rashi doesn't tell us what the issue is over here. So Rabbeinu Chananel, there's a few Rishonim that we have to just mention, because there's actually very big nafkamina, is the cruise ships, let's say. So Rabbeinu Yonah holds that this is only an issue. All these seem to be quoted in Shulchan Aruch, meaning the more machmir or not, but either way, the Rabbeinu Chananel says that it's specifically talking about a small boat is very shallow, less than 10 tefachim, in which you have issues of tchum. So that would obviously not apply to any bigger boat. So the Rif completely rejects this, and he explains that the rabbis say that it's aser, it's a din d'rabbanan, because we're afraid someone's going to get seasick, and if that's the case, then it takes 3 days to get used to it. Then if he doesn't, he's going to completely ruin his Shabbos. He's going to be seasick the whole time. He's throwing up all Shabbos. It's a problem of onik Shabbos. It's din d'rabbanan. Tosos hold that it's also din d'rabbanan, but they hold that it's maybe the gzera of swimming. And the Balmologist, and after that, says maybe you'll come into a din of a pikuach nefesh, because it's very dangerous, and then you'll come to have to rescue someone if someone falls off the boat, and that's a pikuach nefesh is only dechuya, it's not hutra, you're not allowed to put yourself in the situation, you have to be pikuach nefesh, so it's only mutter before 3 days before. When do the 3 days start? That's also another big machlokas. Whether, could you need 3 full days, in which case you have to leave on Tuesday, that's one shita, or maybe Wednesday, you don't need full 3 days, or even Thursday, maybe the third day already could be Shabbos. That's all quoted in the sugya over there. Those are all quoted by different achronim, that's a machlokas. But depending on the answers, just to point out though, a cruise ship would be the nafkamina, because let's say the rift center. Most people, if you know you don't get seasick at all, you don't even feel that you're traveling in most of these massive cruise ships, so then it wouldn't necessarily be an issue at all. However, Tosos, the Chorus still would apply. I'm pretty sure this is a dion in the poskim nowadays. I don't remember, but I'm pretty sure Ravadio had some kulas. I don't remember though. Either way, that would be the dinim based on the Gemara over here. So now the Gemara says, b'matvarim, when are we machmer on this l'dvar shus? When you're doing it for something that's your own, however, dvar mitzvah shapir damri. If there's a mitzvah, then it would be mutter. Okay, depending on answers, let's plug in Tosos. Let's say with dinder abundance, it's osik mitzvah, so it'd be okay according to Rif. Also, osik mitzvah, even though you wouldn't necessarily have the most onik Shabbos at Shabbos, but since you're already osik mitzvah when you have to leave somewhere, so then even though you're not going to have onik Shabbos, it would be mutter. Posik ma'amanas lishbos, but you should still try to make a stipulation with the goy, that the ship's captain, that he's going to stop on Shabbos. Again, according to the Rif, that makes sense, because you were not going to have any seasickness or things like that. So then the Gemara says, "V'ino shoves." Even though you know that he's not going to, you should at least try to show him by showing him that you know you care about Shabbos and you want it to be the most relaxing. That is divrei Rebbe. That's the words of Rebbe. But Shmuel Mila, in a tarach, you don't even need to make this stipulation at all. That's what he says. Now the Gemara says, "Mitzur l'tzidah nafilu bar Shabbos mutar." Tzur l'tzidah, two places in Eretz Yisrael are close together. She points out that they could travel there within a day. That would be mutar. Some explain the Beis Yosef as an option to suggest. Maybe this would even be the situation if you thought maybe there's a possibility you wouldn't even get there. Since only one day away, maybe that would even be mutter. Now, the Gemara says a similar price. You're not allowed to start a siege on a city less than 3 days before Shabbos. Why is that? So according to the Rif, it makes sense. He's saying that this is a hamshich what we did this before, and people are going to be very afraid. From when's the scariest part? The first 3 days. If you start earlier, it won't be as bad. You won't be as pachad, and that would be the situation. I also saw brought down l'chora, according to Harishonim, this is only by Rav Chemes Harishus. By Rav Chemes Mitzvah, these dinim would not necessarily apply. It's pretty famous. I think the Six-Day War, they actually started on Shabbos. So again, that was pikuach nefesh, that if the goyim knew that they weren't going to attack on Shabbos, that was dafka the best way to do it, then obviously pikuach nefesh should be docha these considerations. V'mischilo in asikin, if they began the siege, they do not lift it when Shabbos arrives, meaning even if they did it, some say be'isr, you didn't do the right thing, you would still not stop it. V'chin, hayashemai omer, Shama used to say, that what adrid asam, when do you wage war? Do you have to conquer it? Meaning, afilu b'Shabbos, even on Shabbos, you'd be allowed to do this. Okay, so that was over here. Now the Gemara says, Amar Shem Aglel Noagim Bis Abba, that was the practice that to be machmir like Beis Shammai. So it says the Gemara over here, Tanya Amar B'Tzadok, Kachem Menegosh Shem Gamliel, this was Minag Avraham Gamliel, Shayu Nosen Klei Lavan L'Kovei Shul Shem Kodin L'Shabbos. They would give white cloths to launder 3 days before Shabbos, Utzvon Afilu B'Erev Shabbos, and colored laundry even on Friday, because we see from here, and we dray on the money, well, the Gemara is going to say that, we see from here, Shalavan Kachem Nosen Yosem Utzvon, that cleaning, because again, they were machmir for Shitas Beis Shammai, so it has to be able to be done before Shabbos. So a white shirt, obviously, is a lot harder to clean out. There's a lot of stains, very noticeable. However, a colored shirt, you see, they wear colored shirts, apparently. The colored shirts, they would be they would be cleaning it up. It's a lot easier, so therefore they would send it to them on Friday. So the Gemara now says, it's interesting, Abai was giving a certain article of clothing that was colored to a launderer. Amar Lei, and he said to him, "Kama bias ale? How much you charging for it?" Amar Lei, kidichiura. With the same, I have the same price, whether it's to clean a white shirt or a colored shirt. Amar Lei, a buyer responded, "Kfar kunuach abanan." The rabbis already anticipated. They told us this thing, that that's not true. You should be charging me less. So why is the story related over here? So one pshat the achronim, and interesting to teach you that the Torah, if you learn Gemara, if you learn the Gemara properly, and you really know everything, you can mamish come to envy every single situation, life situation that's going to throw at you, no matter what. They say Chazon Ish was able to perform a brain surgery. That if a person really internalizes every single thing of every single Gemara, then you'd be able to know every single thing that life throws at you. So that would be here, that Abaye was saying that even your daily business conduct, you can figure out from the Gemara, from teachings of different stages, different Chachamim. Either way, Gemara continues now. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Hai man de'ayav mana lekatsa, someone who gives clothing to a laundry, b'mashcha ne'av le'i, so you give it to him and measure it. Also, you should take it back with a measurement. Why? Because if you know that it's bigger than how you gave it to him, we know that he damaged it and he stretched it too much. And if it's too short, then we know also he shrank it, in which case that's not good for you, so you should be careful with that. Now the Gemara says, "V'shavin elav eino shetonin." Going back to the last part of the Mishnah, we said that both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that you can place the beams of the olive press and also these circular planes over the wine press, right, and let it go run on Erev Shabbos. The Gemara now says, "But why is Beis Shammai being makel on this? They hold to the concept of Shvisas Kalim." So the Gemara says, "Ma'ishna kulu degazer Beis Shammai, u'ma'ishna kores b'savad v'gledavas the lo gazer." Why are there gozer? The lashon of gozer. The Rishon asked that kasha. Why does it say gozer? It's the Chora Dinder Reis we pointed out that Shvisas Kalim. Okay, not getting into that now, but it's a kasha. You can look at the Ritva. He has two. So the Gemara says again, what's the difference between Beis Shammai over here that there goes around this and Koresh Beis Sabbat and Vila that they're not goes there? Why? Because meaning the Chora, if they hold the Shvisas Kalim, they should be decreeing on all the wine press and the planks of the olive press, the beams of the olive press as well. What's the difference over here? So the Gemara says no. Hanafti Aviluhu B'Shabbos Mechayav Chatas. In the situation where he did any of these first things, we said that's a Malacha Daraisa, then Gazer, then they make the Gzera. However, Beis Shammai Im Chashecha. Beis Shammai are going to make this decree on Friday eve, on Friday right before Shabbos. The Gemara now says Koresh Beis Sabbat and Vila. Of us in the situation with the olive press and the circular planks, the Avad Bihula B'Shabbos Lo Mechayev Chatas, where if someone personally does them on Shabbos, you would not be Chayev Chatas Lo Gazer, Beis Shammai is not going to decree this din. So they assume that, obviously, that assuming this case, that if a person is squeezing the juices out of already what was chopped olives or partially pressed grapes, that would not be an Isser D'Oraisa. So the Gemara asks, who is that Tana? Man Tana Chomita Dasa Mela Shapirdami. Who's the Tana? The Mishnah taught that the case of any liquid that would come out of the fruit on its own without the pressing, that it would not be an Isser D'Oraisa if you have to squeeze it out. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi Baruch Hanina, Rabbi Shmuli, it's Rabbi Shmuel. This time, how do we know this? The Mishnah says, Hashem HaBosar Milos Raskun Baal Yom. That we learned in the Mishnah, if someone had chopped garlic, or he had, Bosar always refers to grapes before they become ripe, or also, melilos, also the grain before they become ripe, and then you put them on the beans on Friday to press out their juices while it's still daytime. Rabbi Shmuel Meir Gemush Shadash, Rabbi Shmuel says you're allowed to finish the process after it becomes dark. Since you already chopped the fruits, you loaded them, that would not be an Isser according to Rabbi Shmuel. However, Rabbi Kiva says that this, lo yigmar, you should not allow to finish it after dark. Rabbi Kiva is saying that you're not allowed to do that because the juices are going to press out on Shabbos would be Usser. So, okay, this is, again, Harashas, it tells us a lot of Kashas, you can look at the Tosas over there, but that's how we're going to explain it. Rabbi Lazar, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Amar Rabbi Lazar. So there's two Rabbi Rashi, right? Rashi points this out. There was the Amora, who was Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas. He was the Amora, and Rabbi Elazar ben Shemuel, who's always the Stam Mishnah. So he's quoting his, the person just happened to have the same name. He says it's Rabbi Elazar. Desnan, Chalos Dvash or Iskam, Rabbi Shabbos, Yotzim Asman. If they have the, someone had a honeycomb before the Shabbos, if we broke up the honeycombs of Shabbos, and the honey is coming out on itself from the honeycomb, then it's forbidden to eat the honey on Shabbos. Why? Because we're afraid that you're going to come to actually squeeze out the honey, which would be a din, a problem d'oraisa. That is the shita of the Tanakhama. However, Rabbi Elazar, Matir, Rabbi Elazar says that it's permitted, seemingly because he assumes that there would not be an iser d'oraisa if the honeycomb was already chopped before Shabbos. So therefore, we could see that the shita of maybe Bishamai is following this idea over here, that that would not be the din d'oraisa. Okay, and now the Gemara proceeds to ask. Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef bar Chanina, my time alone, Rabbi Lazar. So what was the reason Rabbi Yosef bar Chanina doesn't explain the Mishnah that the town of our Mishnah is Rabbi Lazar? What problem did he have with that? So says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef bar Chanina, he's going to say to you that it's only in the case of the honey, that was initially food and the end of food, that the town of Rabbi Lazar doesn't consider the squeezing out to be an Isser Daraisa. However, but here's the fundamental difference. The grapes and olives are fundamentally food, and you're now changing it to a drink, and changing the issue from a fruit to drink, that is the real Isser D'oraisa, that is going to be the problem over here. So therefore, he thinks that it can't be. So Rabbi Elazar is going to respond, Rabbi Elazar Amar Lacha, no. Hashemina Rabbi Elazar Da'filu Zeisim Vanavim Nami Shari. We see explicitly that Rabbi Elazar does say that it's permitted even by olives or grapes. So your taina was not right against me. Why? Da'ha ki asa Rabbi Hoshea min Arda. When Rabbi Hoshea came from Narda Asa Vaisim Masnisa Bidei, he had a certain braisa. And he said, Zeisim Vanavim Shuriska Me'er Shabbos V'yatsumi Atzman. If someone had partially crushed olives in the earlier stage of crushing, it's going to be important that it's earlier stage, we'll see in a moment, olives are before the Shabbos, and then the juices are coming up by themselves, then they are forbidden. That is the Tishta Tanakamah. Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon Matir, and Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon say that it is permitted. So we see explicitly that Rabbi Elazar is ruling not only in the case of the honeycombs, but also in the case of olives and grapes as well. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi Bachanina, why is it, so that's pretty clear. So he's going to say, Braisa Loshmi Aleh, he doesn't heard of that Braisa. Because again, Mishnayos, you can always ask Akasha, the Gemara always says this, that you can ask Akasha from an Amora, from any Mishnah anywhere in Shas, because they're expected to know every single Mishnah, is Mesudar Athlini Kola Amoran. However, a Braisa, not everyone had access to every single Braisa, so it's not the biggest Kasha that he didn't say like Rabbi Lazar, because he thought Rabbi Lazar didn't hold like that. It turns out there was a Braisa that said that way, okay, but that's not a Kasha on his Shita nevertheless. The Gemara now says, Rabbi Lazar, my time Rabbi Yossi Bachanina, Rabbi Yossi Bachanina was still coming from the Mishnah, being Rabbi Yishmael, why was that a problem, assuming that the Tana was the Shita of Rabbi Yishmael? So the Gemara now says, Amar Lacha, Lav Itmar La. The Gemara said regarding this ruling of Rabbi Yishmael's view, Amar Rava Barchina Rabbi Yochanan Mechsurin Dicha Dukum Yam Lapligit, where they lacked more crushing to pound it more, no one disagrees that it's going to be usher. So it's important to state over here that there's 3 degrees of crushing something. First you have Risuk, which is the earlier stage, it's like the beginning of the process of pounding it, where you're like, all you're doing is chopping it a little bit down. Then there's Dicha, that's literally pounding it much more and really extracting. The third is Shchika. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, he's teaching us the Machlokas Rabbi Yishmael doesn't apply to garlic and unripe grapes because if they're in the earlier stage of risuk, everyone would agree that it's usser. However, kipligim mechsur and shchika, only at the later stage of shchika, the last stage, that is when this machlokas Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva are arguing on the third last stage, which are basically was already crushed. At that point, can you now squeeze it out a little further and make and say the sumat not be usser? That is when Rabbi Yochanan says, and so too in our Mishnah, it seems to be that the olives of the grape Mishnah are referring to this thing that is lacking this, or is at this earlier stage, and that is why Rabbi Elazar doesn't hold of this. So the Gemara now says, so it seems to be that it would come out from that is Rabbi Yosef bar Chanina would Rabbi Yochanan would disagree with this ruling as would disagree with the ruling of Rabbi Yosef bar Chanina. That's what comes out. Lechora is Rabbi Yosef bar Chanina would argue on Rabbi Yochanan. That is Machal Vishonah, but that's Lechora what comes out. And Marnah says Hora Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yosef bar Chanina ruled in accordance with the view of Rabbi Yishmael. So once we're discussing the din, Rashi points this out. Once we're discussing the din of an olive press, to discuss other din of the olive press, that regards to the din of rice, rather with muksa. Shemel shabdan machsul shabdan. If you have olive from the olive pressers and the mats from the olive pressers, Rav Asher Shmuel Shari. Rav said that it's usher to move them on Shabbos because they're muksa, and Shmuel says that it's not muksa it is not necessarily going to be an issue to move them for a purpose that you want to use them. This is going to bring a lot of mention now, because the Gemara is going to mention Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda is a much stricter version. He holds of Mukta, and the Gemara uses the lashon of Rabbi Shimon Leisei Mukta. It doesn't literally mean doesn't hold Mukta, but he's more mekel with regards to Mukta. L'chor over here, you're using it for the purpose, a purpose that you need on Shabbos, and that would make it maybe a klish maktal isra, using it for Letzorach Kufa Makoma potentially. But the Gemara doesn't necessarily explain why Rav Shmuel each say that it's mutter. The Gemara just says that they say it's Asr Mutter. The Gemara quotes a few different cases. Now the Gemara continues. Hane Karge Dezuze. If you have these mats which are used for covering a ship's cargo, which obviously is not a purpose used for normally Shabbos purposes, Rav Asr Shmuel Shai. Rav also says it's Asr, and Shmuel says it's mutter. Third machlokas. Rav Nachman is the chaba. If you have a goat that's usually used for its milk, for rachel, like zizas, a sheep that's usually used for its wool. Again, these are malachas that are usher do on Shabbos, so therefore qualified as mukta. Tagodas lebitzas. If you have a hen for its eggs, a torah didan, a pal for oxen, torah the iskan, dates used for the purpose of business. Rav Asher Shmuel Amar Muta. Rav again says it's Asher if you were going to use them or move them on Yantiv. Rav Shmuel said it's permitted to use them and or use them for a Muta purpose on Yantiv as well, or meaning like to shecht it, and you got to shecht an animal on Yantiv, make her a din. So Shmuel says that would be Muta on Yantiv and Shabbos also to move them if there's a Tzorach for that was Muta, a Muta Tzorach on Shabbos. And the Gemara says, now the Gemara introduced what I said before, the fundamental machlokas of Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda with regards to Mukta is what Rav and Shmuel are fundamentally arguing about. The Gemara now says, there was once a Talmud who ruled in the case of Chard Agas, Rashi says the name of a place of a Chashiv guy, and he was buried there, and he says he's still buried there, Rashi says, okay? And he passed in like the view of Rabbi Shimon, and Sham Teler of Rav Nuna put him in Chayrim, he put him in excommunication. So the Gemara says, why? Rabbi Shimon's really that. He's passed like Rabbi Shimon, and that's really how we follow that halacha like Rabbi Shimon. We're more than Rav. We don't hold that we're so machmir on Mukta with every single situation. So the Gemara now says, why? No, because he was in Rav's, a city where Rav was the Mordasra, and you shouldn't pass him against the Rav of the Shul in the Rav of the town, and you have no right to do that, and therefore he put him in Chayrim. So the Gemara just once relates on the different Talmidim also acting on their own. One, there's a halacha about how much you're allowed to take out when there's a fire. We're not going to all the details of Mitzvah Shem. When you get to the later Prakim of Shabbos, we'll get to this. But the Gemara says that one took it out with one container, the other one took it out with four or five containers. And they were disagreeing the matter between Rabbi Rizuna and Rav Huna, how much you're allowed to take out on Shabbos. We'll get to the Mitzvah Shem much later in the Kufs. So we'll stop here for today. Ad Kan Yisher Koach.